following message is a presentation of Valley Metro Church, a community of believers dedicated to knowing God and making Him known.
God's got something really good for us this morning, but before I begin, I want to start with a little story about a mechanic, a Mercedes mechanic by the name of Morris. And Morris was the loudest guy in the shop. He's working at the Mercedes dealership, and one day he had this engine all apart, very proud of the work that he does, very loud and very proud. And while he had this engine apart, he looked across the dealership and he saw a famous surgeon, a heart surgeon from their community. And so he yelled out across the shop, "Hey, doc, come on over here. I gotta talk to you about something." So the doctor was a little surprised and walked over to see Morris the mechanic, and he had this Mercedes engine all apart. And Morris sat there really proud, wiping his hands and puffing out his chest, and says, "Doc, I too take things apart. I too do transplants. I too change out valves. And when I am done, this puppy is going to purr like a little kitten. Let me ask you, Doc, why is it that me and you basically do the same exact thing and you make the big bucks?" And the doctor leaned over to Morris and said, "Well, try doing it with the engine running." That's talent. Some of you guys will get that after lunch. But in reality, there are so many talents in this room. So many talents in this room. Some of you have discovered your talents. Some of you are still discovering your talents. But today we're talking about being who God made you to be. And there are many people who go through life wondering who God made me to be. In fact, it's one of the oldest questions civilization has ever asked. Why am I here? And who? What am I aiming at? And what is my purpose? It's an ancient question. I believe God put it in the DNA of our soul, spiritual DNA, that we should look up and look out and go, "Why am I here?" And I don't know about you, but I've come to crossroads in my life, haven't you, where you're going, "God, what did you make me for? Am I supposed to be doing this?" Has anybody had this deep question? Okay, a little honesty in the house of God. Amen. Yeah, why, God? Which way am I supposed to go? Is there a bigger purpose? Is it more meaningful than this? And we have this little tension with inside our soul about our direction and our purpose. And what we're going to look at this morning is God gave you and I talents so that we could discover why we were made, how we were made, why we were made, and what our purpose is. God is starting, and He wants you and I to start with, I think He would tell us this morning, look at the raw materials I gave you. That simple. Not some profound spiritual concept. Very simple. Look at the raw materials that I gave you, because that is where you're going to begin to discover your purpose, your direction, and how you get a vision. And so we're going to be looking at this reality of talents, but my prayer before we start is that you not only discover your talents, but you begin to put them in use for the glory of God. Next week, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, which is a whole deeper layer on the spiritual things that God gives out. But this week, I want us to look at the surface, the natural realities that God gives out to everybody, and they're very identifiable, they're very recognizable, and my prayer is that we come to terms with them and we start using them for the glory of God. God gives us these gifts so that we could better understand His plan, so that we could better understand His will. And I look back at, through the Bible, you got these stories, and it seems that a lot of people have an excuse why they don't step out doing things for God or walking in the fullness of what God has for them. And when I think of that, I look at the story of Moses. And God calls Moses and says, "Moses, I got a plan for you, my friend. I've got a plan for you. You are going to get to go to Pharaoh himself and say, 'Let my people go.' This is huge. It's a big plan. It's going to be awesome. Moses, you're ready to go." And Moses had every excuse in the book why he could not do it, why he wasn't the one, why there's got to be something wrong here. He said, "My voice, I stutter, and you know, who am I, and you sure I'm the guy?" And he had every excuse in the book, and God when he was done with all his complaints and all the excuses, God tells Moses, "Moses, what is in your hand?" Moses is thinking, "What does that have to do with anything?" God's like, "Moses, has everything to do with everything. What is in your hand?" And Moses is like, "It's just a shepherd's staff." Bingo, Moses. That's what you need to do what I'm calling you to do. And so many times you and I think what we need to walk out the plan, to walk out the vision, the things we need, the things we don't have before we can do it. Moses is like, "My speech isn't right. My this isn't right. There's no way I'm the guy." And God's like, "Moses, you got a staff, don't you? Begin with what's in your hand." I believe it's the same with you and I. God's not so much interested in what we don't have. God is interested in what we do have. God gave us raw materials. And when we look at the plan God has for our life, when we look at the direction and our purpose and why God made us and how you and I are supposed to be all God wants us to be, look at the raw materials. It's not a hyper-spiritual thing. It's not a profound, bizarre concept. It's a simple truth. What are the raw materials that God gave you and I in the form of our gifts and our talents? That's where Moses started. And God said, "Moses, you see what you got in your hand? Just reach out your hand. Reach out your hand. Take what you have right here." And this is where the whole journey begins. And the rest is history. The rest is history. I believe it's the same in your life and in mine, that if we are willing to start with the very things we have, the very things in our own proximity, right here, right now, that's where it begins. In fact, the name that God gave Moses, "Who should I say that sent me?" God says, "My name is Yahweh," which means I am. I was, I am to come. I am Yahweh. I am the living God where you are at. But a lot of times, you and I look at plans and purpose and go, "Well, if I only had that, then maybe I can start my journey. Or if I only acquired this or got to this point, then maybe I'd be qualified." And God's saying, "No, what do you have in your hands? What are the raw materials I gave you? Because I am willing to work with that." I don't know if that speaks to you, but for some of us, we can just go home now because I can camp out on that for a while. What did God give you and what do you have in your hands? It's that simple, and that's where it begins. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 25. We're looking at a parable. Many of you know the parable of the talents. We're going to look at how God gives talents and whether we recognize them and what we do with them matters monumentally. Now, a parable, just to set it up, all the parables that Jesus taught are about the kingdom of God. Everybody say kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is simply how it works in God's economy. It's a spiritual reality. And in the parables, every parable you hear, you might not know this, but you are in the story. And that's the cool thing about the parables. Every time Jesus told a parable, you and I are in the parable. It's just a matter of figuring out which one we are. So in all the parables, there's a story of people and things going on. And the listener, the intention of Jesus in the parable is for the listener to go, "Wow, which guy am I? Which gal am I in this story?" That's really where this is going. So when you hear this parable, think about it that way yourself. So we're in Matthew 25. We're going to look at this in sections. We're going to start in verse 14. If you have your Bible, you can open there. By the way, if you don't have your Bible, start bringing it to church. We believe in the authority of Scripture. We camp out. We grow there. It's a big deal. And so bring your Bible. If not, you have it on your phone or something like that. That's fine. But, you know, get in the pattern of bringing the word with you. Verse 14 says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who had received the 5 talents gained 5 more. The man who had received 5 talents went out at once, put his money to work, and gained 5 more. So also, the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. This starts out with a master-servant relationship, which is basically talking about God and us. Here's the relationship between the parties. God is the giver of the gifts, and we are the servants in the story, you and I, to serve God and to serve others with the things that God gives us. And when we talk about talents, we usually use the term talking about my talents and your talents, and that's okay. We refer to them that way, but the reality is they're not really ours. In the story, it says they're entrusted. In other words, God is giving them, and someday there's going to be a giving back. In other words, you and I are just borrowing them. You and I have these talents for a window of time. You and I have a little snapshot of opportunity, not forever, but we have a snapshot of opportunity with these gifts. And it's the master who's actually entrusting his property to us. And now what's important about this, if these were just my talents, I could really do whatever I want with them. And if these are just your talents, you could do whatever you want with them. They're your talents. But if they're not your talents and my talents, if they're his talents, then it's not about doing anything we want with them. If they're his talents, we want to do what we can with them. And so there's a different mode here. And so my prayer is that we begin to discover and know these talents and start to recognize them. Our first point, if you're a note taker this morning, is to discover and identify my God-given talents. Discover and identify. I mean, really stop, take an inventory, pray, identify. Don't just say, well, yeah, I think I'm good at this and this and move on. That misses the entire point. If God gave you five talents or two or in one, you better identify what that talent is. Don't go, hey, I don't know, I got a few things, I'll work it out later on. That's not the point. The point is you have God-given talents, you have God-given opportunities, you have God-given provision, you've got God-given things that you specifically were granted for a window, for a season, and we got to come to terms. We got to identify those things. That's where it begins. And by the way, if you're not sure what those are, ask those around you. Sometimes we can have the wrong view of our talents. Some people think too highly of a talent that might not be a talent, and others might think too lowly of a talent that's right in front of you. Have you ever seen somebody with some great talents and they don't even recognize their talents or waste their talents, right? That's the saddest thing. They really don't even know how talented they are. It's like, oh boy, do you realize how talented you are? And then some might want to be some profound singer and you're thinking, that's cool, you like to do that, that's not your thing, you know. Friends speak the truth in love. amen to that. But discover your talents, identify your talents, write down your talents. If you don't know, ask those around you to help you, but it's important to come to terms with the things that you're good at. These are your skills, talents, resources, capabilities, your abilities, your natural gifts, and your spiritual gifts. And again, this doesn't have to be on some radical level. Let's talk about raw materials, basic talents. Quick example of that. We got this church van, right? And it's an okay van, but let's just say it needed a little love, okay? It's the kind of church van you wouldn't really want to be seen in. You'd probably sit down low in it, you know? It's a little old school. But Mike saw the van, and Mike said, you know what? You need to drop that thing off with me. Let me do a little something to it. So we dropped the van off at Mike, and Mike hooked the van up. I mean, he hooked it up. You know, he blinged my ride. You know how they say that? It's like, I mean, it's cool looking now. You know, it's like, and so now we got even teenagers coming to the office going, wow, you guys got a really cool church van, you know? And so simple way of somebody saying, not on a hyper-spiritual level, I got a gift, I got a talent, and I want to step out and use it in some way. You see how simple that is? And that kind of stuff lives on. We're talking about raw materials. We're talking about a basic level of walking out the things that God gives us right in front of us. Next week, again, spiritual gifts, a deeper level on a more invisible supernatural level. But this week, just raw materials, the basic elements of life and opportunity that God gave to each one of us. These talents were given out each according to his ability, this says. God gave you talents according to your ability. And when God says that, he knows you are able. That's what this is talking about. God never gave a talent out to somebody who is not capable or able to put it to use. Nobody was given a talent that way. Every talent, it says, each according to his ability. That means God knows what we can handle. He knows our capacity and our capability. And so these gifts are given according to our ability. And so the amount of talents in this story, one guy gets 5, the other gets 2, and the other gets 1. We have nothing to do with how much talent we get, but we have everything to do with how we put it to work. You guys seeing that part in the story? I mean, nothing to do with how many talents. If God gave us 1 or 5 or 20, that's not because of us. God gave those out, but we have everything to do with how we actually use them and put them to work. And in the passage, 2 of them went out at once and put them to work. And so our second point this morning is, with your talents, once you discover the raw materials that God put in you, once you begin to identify and come to terms what these are, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities. There are so many that have talents, and they just wait for something to come to them, or they don't even think about proactivity, being proactive with a gift or a talent. But in this passage, and this is a passage about the kingdom of God, this is how it works in God's economy. This is how it works. If you are a believer and you have any respect and recognition for God Almighty as the giver of gifts, this is how you and I respond. Identify the gift he gave you and look for opportunity. Some people, they just think about it or maybe talk about it and maybe even pray about it, which is good. But we got to look for opportunity. In the passage, 2 of them invested and 1 of them buried. To invest means to put to work. In fact, the Greek means that. The Greek means to be engaged in and be committed to. They put it to work. They actually did something with it. But the other one buried. And burying happens. Burying is motivated by fear. That's why people bury. They either don't recognize the value of it or they're just simply afraid. The guy in this story says he was afraid. I don't know if that was his real reason or his excuse, but the reality is fear is never the answer. Fear is false evidence appearing real, and God did not give you or me that spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. So if fear is the motive on not doing something, that's not God. God says, fear not, over and over and over again. We don't serve a God of fear. He's not the author of fear. But fear will hold us back from taking any kind of investment step for God's glory. And it's very real. We sense it, but will it limit us or will we ignore it and walk through it? These other guys went out and invested in faith. That's really cool. The third point is that start investing with godly intentions. Start investing with godly intentions. Say your talent is baseball. Say your talent is sports. And you're like, well, I don't know my spiritual gifts, but I'm pretty athletic and I'm really good with that. Well, good. Start, how do you begin to invest now with godly intentions? And with godly intentions, I mean, God, how could you get the glory out of this? How could I do something where you get the glory? This is important because these guys weren't doing things for them to get the glory. They were doing this for their master, and there's something about this relationship that God blesses. In this passage, there's something we got to take home, that when it comes to investing our talents, taking steps out and actually going, putting them to work and just get rolling up our sleeves and starting to dig in, investment is expected. According to God Almighty, the living God, the raw materials and investments that he put in you for a season, he expects investment. That's what we see in this passage. Investment isn't an option. It's not like, yeah, well, I didn't feel like it. I didn't really know. It's like, figure out, pray, and discern what raw materials God gave you and how you're going to begin to take a step, not by fear, by faith. I think this will honor you, God. I'm taking a step. That's where it begins. Couple of scriptures, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much is required. You guys hearing that one? To whom much is given, much is required. before I came to faith, that scripture was put on a mirror in the place that I worked. And it was right in front of me in this mirror. I don't know who put it. I think it was the janitors put this little scripture on the mirror. And every time I'd go to wash my hands, I couldn't get around this scripture right in front of me. And I wanted to take it off, but I didn't follow God or I didn't love God, but I knew scripture was scripture. So I didn't want to take it off, but I couldn't dodge it or get around it. And this thing was staring at me in the face every day. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I saw this scripture, and I felt it was God's way of saying, son, 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 whenever you're ready, to whom much is given, much is required. You're not going to keep walking that way forever, son, whenever you're ready. And there's a loving father, whenever we're ready to start getting with the master on his plan, this is where it begins, to whom much is given, much is required. Well, our passage today moves on in verse 19, and it says this, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man who had the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. To pause right here, the master came back to settle accounts. And I say that because when God entrusts you and I with raw materials, there is an accounting on the other side of this. There is a day when things are accounted for. There's an accounting. It's not forgotten about. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account concerning himself to God. Each one of these guys had an account, and you and I have an account. Now, what we do with our stuff is not about getting to heaven or not. That's a free gift through Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works. Heaven, forgiveness, eternity is a free gift that Jesus did that we can't earn. However, stewardship of everything God gives us is rewardable and blessable, not only in this life, but in the life to come. The Bible has a lot to say about that. There is going to be an account given. And the first 2 servants, I love this, even though one guy had 5 and got 5 more, and the other guy only had 2 talents and got 2 more, the reality is they all got the same reward. Even though they had a different level of talents, they got the same reward. And the reason they got the same reward, it wasn't based on how much talents they had. It was based on their faithfulness. It didn't matter if someone had 100 talents or 1 talent. If they're faithful with it, God is saying, bravo, that was beautiful. And when you look at the text, the way God is saying this here, he's saying it with a big old smile, exclamation point, well done. It's like the master being your biggest cheerleader. And I don't know how you think of God. You don't maybe think of God in your camp cheering you on. A lot of people have a different view of God. But this parable shows the other side of God, God's love and God being for you and God encouraging you, saying, way to go. You're looking at the raw materials I gave you. You're taking steps of faith. You're doing it for my glory. Bravo. That is awesome. And I love the way that picture is. He's saying, come and share in your master's happiness. The master's happiness. We don't usually get a visual of the father's happiness, but I want you right now to think for a moment about the heavenly father with the biggest ear-to-ear grin that he could ever have over you. Can you hold camp out on that for a second, please? Because this is foreign maybe to some of you. You've never thought of the heavenly father looking down on you with an ear-to-ear grin. Can't get any bigger. And he's saying, bravo, great job. Come and share. Thank you for being faithful. Come and share in your master's happiness. It's a picture we need to hold on. God is smiling, and his smile makes you smile. And you're using the raw materials for his glory. It's not complicated. It's simple, but it is profound and it is powerful. Do you know what makes God smile? Do you know in your life what makes God smile? I'll tell you, when you start using the raw materials for his glory, that's making God smile. It's really important. Some of you may know John Sebastian Bach. He was one of the most amazing composers who ever lived, and he really understood this thing. He got this down. He understood if God put it in me, God expects it to come out of me. He understood this. And everything he wrote, when he wrote these compositions, he would write in Latin the words, the acronym for Jesus help me, right at the top of his composition. And at the bottom, he'd write, to God alone be the glory. And you're thinking, wow, this is a guy with so much talent, truckloads of talent, but he knew where it came from. And he knew whatever God put in me, it's got to come out of me. So God, help me with it. And then if it lights up and it turns into something great, to you be the glory. Do you see how his attitude was? This guy is an amazing example of someone who God had given profound talents to, and he was really faithful. What's really amazing is later on in his life, John Sebastian Bach wrote a book, and it was called The Little Organ Book. And you're thinking like somebody like Bach could have wrote something really profound, but he's like, no, I'm just going to write The Little Organ Book. And what he wrote to dedicate this little organ book, he wrote, in the praise of the Almighty's will and for my neighbor's greater skill. In other words, yes, I asked God to help me before I did these compositions. I prayed he'd get the glory. But when I write the book, I really want it to be about God's will and for my neighbors to have a greater skill. So even in the latter part of his life, Bach is saying, you guys that all have talents, I want to give this book to you to help you move along with your talents. Isn't that an amazing snapshot of somebody who not only recognizes their talents, but is trying to get other people fanned into flame with their talents? He had it down. Passage moves on in verse 24 and says, then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. By that way, that's a rhetorical question. God never gathers where he has not scattered, and nowhere in the Bible does it suggest anything about his nature. And God is saying, so is that what you thought? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who had been trusted with 10 talents. And when I think about this, the Bible is saying those who are faithful with little will be faithful with greater things. If you are faithful with what God gives you, he will give you greater opportunity. I agree with the statement that life is a test and it is a trial and it is a temporary assignment. And when you and I are faithful with the very raw materials and things that God gives us, we will be entrusted with more. But if we're not, don't be surprised if things are taken away. In this passage here, somebody was wasting a God-given opportunity, and God took it away and gave it to somebody else. People make excuses for not investing. This guy made excuses. And instead of investing in faith, he buried in fear. And when we bury our talents, which I think all of us are capable of doing, it's really wasting God-given opportunity. If this story would be to be given a name, a different title, specifically for this guy who wasted his talent, the title of the story would be The Gift That Was Never Opened, or maybe The Story of Wasted Opportunity, or maybe it was the story of the man who lost everything by doing nothing. But for the servants who were faithful with their talents, and my prayer for you and I, this story is the parable of potential. This is the parable of potential. This tells me that when people like you or I recognize that God is the giver of gifts, and we're willing to identify very simply the raw materials that God gave us, not by accident, but by intention and purpose. And when you and I start to think, what steps of faith, not fear, can I begin to take with the things God gave me to invest them, to put them to work, to put a little energy behind him, to make God smile? That's where it all begins. That's where you and I get to share in the master's happiness. This is important, guys, because so many go through life with the aim, I just want to be happy. If you ask people about what their goal in life is, I just want to be happy. And the mistake, and we've touched on this before, happiness is based on the things happening around us. You and I can never control the things happening around us. In fact, Jesus said, you'll always have tribulation. Life deals tough things. We will never control all the things happening around us, so we can never be guaranteed happiness. But joy, on the other hand, is something you can have. Joy is an outflow of the Holy Spirit. And when in John's Gospel in chapter 14, Jesus talked about how your joy can be complete, how the Father finds joy. When you and I are doing things for His glory with the things He gave us, when we're bearing much fruit, as the Bible says, your joy will be complete and His joy will be complete. This is the way that we engage with Almighty God, our loving Father, and we get to share in the Master's happiness. So as the worship team comes up, I want to pray, but I want to encourage you guys to look at it differently. Don't look at, what do I have to do for God? What's the rule? Nope, that's missing the whole heart of this. Look at it this way. Look at it like your heavenly Father, who gave you gifts, also knows what brings you joy more than you and I will ever know. He knows what will bring you joy. We aim at happiness, and we find ourselves not complete and not fulfilled. And therein lies the quandary of life, of people aiming at things and aiming at this and aiming at that because they think they're going to be happy, and at the end of the day, they're not. Why? Because they're aiming at happiness instead of aiming at joy. If you and I aim at joy, if we aim at joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, if we aim at a zone where we say, God, you gave me things, I just want to start taking some little steps of faith on what to do with them. Here goes. That is where we begin this journey of God's design. That is where how we begin to become all that God meant us to be. These are the steps. Again, next week, spiritual gifts, we'll look at this on a deeper level, but on a surface, raw materials basis. Recognize what God put in you. Recognize He wants it to come out of you. And if you and I are willing to do that, you and I are going to begin to share in the Master's happiness. How many of you guys want to share in the Master's happiness? I know I do, and you're in the right place, and God's doing a new work and a new thing, but I really want you to pray, guys, please, church, what are the raw materials, gifts, talents, resources, opportunities that you happen to have, and everyone around you doesn't necessarily have the same things? Write it down, make an inventory, pray about it, ask friends, because you might be leaving some out, and they might say, you're actually really good at this and this. That's important. And when you do that, bring it before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, show me how I can start stepping out into opportunity in a way that makes you smile. I'm just telling you, you seek God first. Please understand this. If you seek Him first, He gives you the desires of your heart. But people are seeking themselves first, and that's why their heart is never fulfilled. But when you seek Him first and His kingdom, He begins to give you the desires of your heart. Fulfillment comes in that order. It's God's economy. It doesn't work any other way. And so many don't get it, but I'm telling you, there's a secret in this. There's a profound reality in it. It's where your joy comes from. It's how the Father, you get to share in His happiness, and it's how we begin to become all that He called us to be. Let's just close in prayer. Mighty God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the power of it. I just pray, God, that all of us in this room would realize You are the giver of gifts, that You specifically poured out distinctive things and raw materials in our lives, God. I pray You would help us recognize what they are. I pray You would help us encourage those around us to recognize what they are. I pray we begin to take some steps in faith, just real, simple, basic steps, saying, if God gave me this, I want to put it to work. I want some energy and intention behind it. And like Bach used to write in his masterpieces, I want You to get the glory. So on the front side, we'd say, Jesus, help me. And on the back side, we'd say, God, get the glory. Show us what that looks like, Lord. Show us how to all begin to take steps in a way that make You smile. You say, in bearing fruit like this, our joy will be complete, and You find joy in it too, God. We want to share in the Master's happiness. I pray when we do it, we would see, get a visual of You with an ear-to-ear grin on Your face, a smile, a profound one, aiming right at us, saying, son, daughter, I am so pleased with you. You're not held back by fear, but you're walking in faith. You're taking opportunities and you're using gifts for my glory. Let us be those people, mighty God. Lead us in all truth today, God. We love you. We praise you. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And this morning, if you have any prayer needs at all, our prayer team's going to come up. Anything you're dealing with, health, finance, family member, friend, a need, a burden, anything you have, God's doing some radical things through prayer around here. I want to encourage you to come up and pray with our prayer team and watch God do some great things. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Valley Metro Church. To hear more messages or to support future podcasts, please visit valleymetrochurch.com.